We're going to finish up a series tonight, a series on relationships. And I know, man, some of you have been just hanging with me through this thing, and it's been good. At the very beginning of this series, I talked about how I know that this is a hard topic. It's not easy for everyone's in different spots, and I understand that. So I want you to know you guys have been hanging with me really strong for these last few weeks, and for me, it feels like I feel like I've been in the series like since as long as winter has been going on. We started with a series down in Georgia Tech, and then I came here and we started doing this series. Tonight we're going to cap it off. We talked a little bit at the winter retreat about relationships. And then I go to church on Sunday, and it's like, wives submit to husbands. I was like, oh, my goodness, just about done. You know, I'm just about done with this. But tonight, I got to tell you, I'm super pumped because tonight caps it off with the granddaddy of them all. It's God's greatest invention. We're going to talk about God's greatest invention tonight. And we have got it all mixed up. And, of course, we take God's best, and we pervert it. We thwart it. We ruin it in a lot of ways. And I want to talk tonight about something I want to recapture the beauty of it. I want to recapture this idea. We're going to be talking about sex tonight. And many of you had parents that raised you in a very intentionally in a very safe way. They put you in a backyard. We're going to give a backyard illustration here, okay? So here you are. You're in your backyard, and your mom and dad, they're not going to talk about sex one way or the other. It's just something that doesn't exist, right? Isn't that kind of the way it is? We're not going to play with Barbies because they're too suggestive. We're going to play with these other babies or whatever it might be. And what we do is they build like these fences really tall in your backyard to kind of keep sex out. And for a time, that's very healthy. I mean, kids really aren't in a position to handle that, to understand that, to work with that. But there comes an age where you kind of rise up to the point where you're able to peek over the fence. And some of you, this is a sore subject, because for some of you, I know that there were some things done to you. There were some things out of your control that brought you on the other side of that fence. And I'm sorry. For some of us, it may have been as simple as clicking on a picture that's like, she looks cute, and you ended up going over a fence that you had no idea. You had no idea what kind of a world was on the other side of that fence. And your mom and dad's yard is pretty small. That backyard is pretty small. But once you went over that fence, this wasn't just the neighbor's yard. This was a field. And for many of you, even at a young age, junior high, you clicked on something that took you into a field, and you were the recipient of what took some dirty old man 50 years to dream up and to scheme, and you got that quick. And you got a lot of the garbage and the depth of what the perversion can look like of sex. And you got it quick. In this culture, I am not talking to a few of you. I'm talking to all of you. You know what I'm talking about there. And it jumps you in too quick. And it makes me angry. It makes me so angry because I desperately want to raise my kids in a way that they relish, cherish, are excited about this idea of sex. But we can't help but feel guilty once we see some of those things that we've seen. And then you don't tell anybody. And you want to get back in the yard, and you get back in this yard, and you realize that there was something over there that you shouldn't have seen or shouldn't have experienced. And you're coming back and forth between this field and this yard, and you're back and forth, and you're just not sure if sex is good, if sex is bad. And one day you could be convinced of one and the other, and it gets very, very confusing, and it gets very deep, and it gets very emotional, and it gets very messy. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is something so grand that rescues you from both yards. Because God has a yard, and He has backed His yard up to both those yards. And He says, I got something in my backyard that's not just good. It's not bad. It's very good. Do you guys remember when he created the world? Back in Genesis, he created birds and stuff one day. That's good. And the next day he created some other things. And that's good. And that last day, it says he created male and female in his own image. That we really bear the image of God. That we are in God's likeness. And he said that he made us male and female in those images of God. And he said, and I wanted, he commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. About the only commandment we've ever taken seriously. And he steps back and he looks at this and he says, this is very, very good. Like this whole creation that he made over the last 6-7 days, this is very good. And the last thing he made was us. And he told us to have sex. And I just want to throw that up on the screen, just this text. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I want you, best you know how tonight, to deprogram. I want you to deprogram the backyard that your mom and dad raised you in of just, it's just not there. And I want you to deprogram from the things that you've been exposed to and the things that you've seen and the things that have taken you down a road that you probably didn't want to go down in the first place. And now you might find yourself down that road in a bit of a helpless way. And you want desperately to escape. Wherever you're at, and like Ben said earlier, there is a whole slew of complexity in this room. But I'm going to tell you all that there is a yard. There is a yard that's very good. God's backyard. It's really good. And I got to describe this yard to you guys. I got to describe some of the components that make this backyard so awesome. See, God invented sex. And he did it because he wanted what was best for us. So I've got something that's really good. If I don't mind saying so myself, that's really good. I made this thing, and they're going to like this one. They're going to like this one a lot. And they're going to have to do it in a way that's protected, in a way that's going to create opportunity for them to really flourish. Do you guys know the best way? This is one of the things that we talked about at my Georgia Tech retreat, was we just talked about giving people a box gives them freedom. We usually think of that as constraint, but if you just tell somebody to go do a service project, they don't know what to do. But if you tell someone how to do a service, we need to do a service project, that it has to be within these, it has to be like within walking distance, it has to be free, it has to be something we keep going back to, and all that. You're like, ooh, and go, people go crazy. They're like, yeah, I know how to do that. I can be creative. God knows that about us, and He has said, I got a backyard, and I got a fence, and I got this little protection for it, and you got to do it in my backyard. You're like, really? God's backyard? This is weird. Right? But I really want you to get that old, because right now, everything about sex in your life has a tint of shame probably attached to it. And God's like, no, come in my backyard. You're like, really? Yeah, come on in, man. I got it. This is going to be awesome. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And he puts this backyard, and you got your husband or your wife there. He says, hey, here's the deal. The parameter around this yard is that you've got to be married, and it's got to be consensual, and you get to do whatever you want. Whatever I want, yep, go for it. This is God talking. This is weird. This feels weird. This is the way God is. God's built this, and I want you to get this in your head. This is an awesome invention. God's like coming, bringing you in. This is my best invention. It's the best one I've got. And I want you to be free within this yard. And I got all kinds of things that you are going to have fun with in this yard. Boy, that doesn't sound like the God a lot of you probably have been raised with. But that is the God of the Bible. Here are the benefits of sex in God's backyard. Number one, it's creative and fun. It's creative and fun. You might say, well, you know what? I found that in the field, that other yard that I got to jump into. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be straight up with you. The world offers sex, creative and fun opportunity. It's certainly there. It's also in God's backyard. But that's where the similarities stop. There are four more gifts, at least that I've counted, that are in God's backyard of sex rather than what you've experienced or seen or can experience in this other yard. So creativity and fun. Let's talk about creativity. We just talked about the box, and it helps to have a box to be more creative in. Does that make sense? You guys get that, right? And so there has to be some parameters to it. And then there's all this freedom that comes from it. And I just talked to a guy. There's a guy that I Skype with who's a campus minister in Chile. And I was talking with him this week. He got married 2 weeks ago. And so I was like, hey, how's it going? How's married life? Oh, it's good. You know, it's whatever. And I said, so I got to ask, how's sex life? And he says, well, you know, it's good. You know, it's sex. And I said, no, I'm not looking for, like, super detailed stuff, but I am asking, under the surface, is everything all right? And he got to talking to me about things, and at the end of our talk, he said, man, Pete, this is the first, you're the only person that's had guts enough to really ask me. And I want you to know I really appreciate you asking that question. He said, here's the deal. He says, my wife and I are both virgins, and we came into this relationship very inexperienced, obviously. And he says, to be really honest with you, we don't know what the heck we're doing. He says, but we don't care. We're learning as we go. And I just was so freed up and relieved and so excited for him. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. That is so cool. I said, as you grow, it's going to be unique to you and your wife, and you don't have to bring in the baggage of something else that someone else did with you or whatever, and all there's all that comparison junk that goes on. You have such a gift. You have such a gift to start this off and to just be creative and fun with one person, and wherever you go, it's your unique journey. That's awesome. The world can't offer you that kind of freedom and that kind of creativity and fun. Creativity and fun. Creativity gets just really outside of God's box in a really quick way. And I don't need to go into detail to tell you what the details are of that. But it is not the same kind of freedom. As a matter of fact, it's slavery. And God has something so beautiful on the other side of his fence that he is for you. So that's the first thing, creativity and fun. You got that. We get that. Hey, I'm going to ask you guys, I care about this topic a lot. I could have put these on the screen and you could have, like, followed me and looked at it and been like, oh, yeah, I could follow along. Or, and then you would forget all about it. Or you could take notes on your phone. And I'm going to encourage you, if you want to just write these five things down, it just might be a good reminder for you. These are the five awesome privileges, and I know it sounds weird, but sex in God's backyard. Okay? So one is creativity and fun. The second is exclusivity. There is something about exclusivity, about just with this one other person. I touched on it a little bit with my example of my friend in Chile. But all of you, from a very young age, have been wanting and needing and looking for one other person that's just, you guys got a special something. And it doesn't necessarily, I'm not just talking sex here, I'm talking about just something where I love, my wife and I, we could walk into a very boring Oscars party, for instance. And we could look at each other from across the way, and we can just look at each other. And she knows, and I know, and she's basically just telling me with her eyes, you want to blow this popsicle stand? And we'll go watch a football game or a basketball game. Yes, let's get out of here. We would have that kind of uniqueness about us. There is something about the exclusivity. There's something unique about my wife and I have a special bond that nobody else can touch. It's awesome. And sex is designed to bring that out of you. It's by no accident that when people start to share, a guy and a girl will start sharing jokes, start sharing lunch, start sharing drives together, start sharing intimate thoughts or ideas, or they start counseling with one another. There's no question where that's headed. That's headed to a place where these two end up feeling like, hey, our exclusivity needs to reach a climax, and it ends up going to the bedroom. Exclusivity. There is a reason that Jerry Springer has been so popular for so long. Well, if it's no big deal that you can have sex with whoever you want, then why is there so much emotion tied to cheating? Why is there so much emotion tied to people sleeping around with other people? There is emotion with that. We had a guy came and spoke at our fall retreat a few years ago, and he talked about how he was in multiple bad relationships where he was in an extramarital affair. And everyone in the place, like including myself, began to feel this urge to tell him to just stop talking. Just stop. I don't want to hear any more about it. There's something about exclusivity that's expected out of sex, and that will always be, and that's not a Christian thing. God built this thing, but that's built into every single person. God built sex to be like that, so that it just feels wrong if it's with multiple people. So exclusivity. I want you to understand that all of this is in context of marriage, because God wants to build awesome families. And so this third one, man, this one is right on. There is a healing that comes with sex. There is a healing. Healing can be in all kinds of forms. It can take all kinds of forms. There is there's a lot of times when my wife will be super stressed out. And I'll be super stressed out, but stressed out for different reasons. And sex seems to heal that. I might be gone for a long time, and we're distant, and she's got these things going on, I got these things going on. Sex seems to heal some of that. We may be fighting, and there's that makeup sex. There's healing that happens with sex that I can't really fully explain or try to explain to you or fully understand, because it's a mystery. It's a deep-rooted thing where God's like saying, hey, these two people have got to care for a family. And I'm going to make an invention that is going to be exclusive, that's going to keep them together tighter than anyone else in the whole world, so that they can be a safe and productive people that are going to provide for those kids. And there's going to be times where it's going to be rough and they're going to be stressed. And this same invention, my great invention, is going to heal them, bring them together so they can continue to be strong for those kids and for the community around them. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to make it fun for them. And it's not going to be just the same thing all the time. It's going to have a creative element to it. See how God is? He's building this thing for a purpose. The fourth thing that this greatest invention of all time, God's greatest invention, provides. is this act, the same act that brings all of these things that we just talked about, it also makes people. Are you kidding me? What an incredible invention. God says, I'm going to do all these things. It's going to be all about bringing unity to this husband and wife, but it's going to make people that they got to take care of. And the more they have to take care of, the more they need to have sex to keep themselves healthy, and it just is a cycle of beauty. The fifth thing that sex does is you have to understand that all these four benefits come from the context of being a parent or being in a family, being husband and wife. And there needs to be an initial upfront commitment that says, I am in this for the long haul. And we talked a couple weeks ago about covenant and the difference between a contract and a covenant. And we talked about a contract is, hey, I do this for you, you do that for me. As long as you're doing your end of the bargain, I'll do my end of the bargain. And a covenant says no. Covenant says all the time, I'm in. I'm just all the way in. And that's what God said to his people. God said that to his people, Israel, through Abraham. He says, regardless of how awful these people are ever going to be, regardless of how many idols they're going to worship in spite of me, I am going to make a covenant through Abraham that I'm going to always love them. And he made a covenant with Noah, and he made a covenant with Moses. And in each of these instances, there was some sort of an offering where there was the shedding of blood that happened so that this offering would allow us to see that God's serious. God's serious. The shedding of blood of this animal established a covenant with his people. And now we're above G-rated here. We're above PG. We're going to jump into something that might be just a little bit hard for you to hear, but I'm just going to have to say it because this is true. We all know that with a virgin girl, there is a certain shedding of blood that happens in her first time. Why does that happen? Because God says, not only is sex going to bring all these things, but the first time you do it, it's going to establish a covenant with that girl. And you're going to establish something that's so beautiful and so perfect and so unique, and it's going to happen in my backyard. And that covenant, the act covers the covenant, the act covers healing, it covers exclusivity, it covers creativity and fun, and it makes people. And God says, here it is. And he builds that up. And some of you are saying, dang, I messed that up. I guess I messed up forever. That's not true. Because God specializes in something else. He specializes in forgiveness. And if you have made some mistakes along the way that have not allowed that to be as pure of a backyard as you would like it to be, understand this. God majors in forgiveness. He's not bad at inventions either. Okay? But forgiveness is what his specialty is. And there's always room. There's always room to come into this yard clean and pure and ready to go. A number of years ago, 5, 6 years ago maybe, we ended up getting a new trampoline. Do you know what it's like to jump on a trampoline? The experience of it, to someone who's never jumped on a trampoline, you can't really fully explain it. It's like, it's so different. It's so awesome. It's so exhilarating. There's just something about that, jumping on that trampoline. It's just, right? It's just awesome. Until I get sick, never mind. We get this trampoline. And the kids can't wait. They're all excited. We got the neighbor kids over, and because the trampoline just came in home from the store. And I get the box out, and the kids are just like ready, like we're gonna open the box and it's gonna like pop out. And so we're like all standing around the box, and we get the box out, and we start dragging out poles and hooks and springs, and we lay out this big rubber circle thing, right, in the center of the yard. And it kind of looks like a trampoline, I guess. Well, kids, this is what we got to do. If you really want to experience what you know you're anticipating, we got to do a little work. We got to get this bracket here. We've got to get that bracket over there. We got to have a little teamwork. We got to put this thing together, right? And we got this thing. And you know, they started off pretty excited. And about an hour and a half to 3 hours in, I found a couple of the kids in the middle of the rubber thing in the middle of the backyard, standing. And occasionally I'd see them. Jumping up and down on the rubber mat on the grass. Kind of fun, right? I mean, yeah, it's kind of fun. I feel something squishy there. There's something about it that's I guess better than jumping on the grass. Not what it was intended to be. And man, I am telling you, God is in his backyard. He's sitting right here. And he sees you guys. He sees you guys going back and forth between is sex good, is sex bad, is sex good, is sex bad. And he's like, dude, it's very good. Bring it this way. And I want you to be in my backyard because there's awesome things here. But you gotta go through some work to build the trampoline. You got to go through some work. You got to go through some perseverance to fill yourself up, to make you whole, to make you somebody that's going to be worthy of giving. You got to be somebody that's going to be filled up in that capacity. You got to be ready. He's saying you got to be ready to invest and to be a giver and to be a server, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. You got to understand how that other person receives love. And I want you in this yard. And for some of you, I cannot emphasize enough that forgiveness is God's reigning message to bring you into this yard. But I also have to be a truth teller. And the truth teller is this. If you are making decisions now that are outside of God's backyard sexually, you're damaging the trampoline experience. You're damaging it. And I can go into some detail about some of that, and I think I will. If you're experiencing sex with multiple partners, when you come into this, exclusivity isn't going to quite mean the same thing. You're forgiven, but there's consequences to that. There's consequences. You're going to struggle with exclusivity possibly for the rest of your life. You're going to struggle with trust probably. There's going to be issues that you're going to drag into that backyard, and God's going to say, you're forgiven of that. But your memory won't let you forget, and there's going to be consequences to it. There is something that I often like to do with married couples that come to me. They ask to be married, and a lot of times they're having sex, they're living together. And what I know is going to happen. Because, I mean, part of me, it's like, oh, just forgive it, whatever, it's no big deal. They're getting married anyway, what's the big deal? And I have learned over time that it is a big deal. Because there is a trust issue that goes on. Because most people that are living together before they're married or having sex before they're married probably have gotten to that point by probably telling a lie or a white lie or two to their parents about what's really going on or what's really happening. And she hears you, guy. She hears your voice and the excuses that you come up with so that the two of you can be together. And 5 years after she's married, she's not sure that you're telling her the same lies that you once told your mom. And she's going to have a hard time trusting you. Well, I'm just going on a business trip. Yeah. You kind of sound the same tone with me on that as you did with my mom when you said that we were just going on a separate vacation or whatever it was. And so what I like to tell these guys that are about to get married is say, hey, I know it's inconvenient probably for you, and you're going to get married like in 6 months, but it would be awesome if you guys could like have the discipline to move and to be in separate locations for 6 months before that wedding. But doesn't it seem a little bit hard to be able to like I got all my stuff there? Yeah, I know. It's gonna be really awkward. It's gonna be inconvenient. But we're sharing bills, and it's kind of hard, and money's kind of tight. And if I moved in with my mom, we'd probably have to pay $400 or $500 or whatever. Yeah, I know. It's gonna cost you something. As a matter of fact, the more it costs you, and the harder it is, the more you're gonna send a message to that girl that you're going to be a man of your word and do the right thing when it comes time to do the right thing. And I have seen people that do the right thing in the last 6 months before they're married, that do that hard thing, it really makes up for a whole bunch of stuff before that wasn't such good decisions. And so I just want you to know there is a practical aspect to this. And God's not just trying to be mean. He's just trying to say, hey, there is a whole slew of crap in that field that you're in. And you're so used to it, and it's so easy to maneuver through it, and everyone seems to be doing it, that it doesn't seem like it's affecting anything until you start looking at the stats of the people that are having divorces. Come over to my side. This is so good. It's very good. And He wants what's best for you. And I don't know about you, but when the inventor gives you instructions, you might want to follow him. Not because he's mean, because he knows how it's best going to be used. He wants what's best for you. I want what's best for you. The land of very good, the backyard of very good is amazing. So, once we're in that backyard, once we're there, and that's going to come quicker for some of you than others, I need to just give a brief final few thoughts on how we protect that. Because once you're in this backyard, I'm not kidding, there's not a whole lot of distance between the bad yard and this yard. And just painting a strip, a line that says, you know, we're just not going to cross this one right here, is probably not enough. We got to build some fences to protect our marriages. Because we're still interacting with a lot of people of the opposite sex all the time. And really what we talked about way back at the beginning of this series, the only thing really necessary for you to fall for somebody of the opposite sex is time alone. It's about it. And so even if you have no thought of being attracted to somebody at work, oh my gosh, don't even pretend to think that I would like that person. Hey, give it time. If you're alone with that person, it will happen. It can happen. And so here are a few safeguards that I have built into my marriage to kind of keep this fence high, and I have not regretted one time. Has it been inconvenient at times? Yes. Have I regretted it? Never. Three things. It's pretty much all in the same category. Don't eat with the opposite sex one-on-one. Hey, you want to go to lunch? No, I don't. Don't travel together. the opposite sex. And the third is don't counsel the opposite sex. These are rules for people that are married to protect that. Okay? You guys can have lunch together. It's okay. You guys aren't married. But once you're married, do some things like that to protect that. Now, single people, here's your rule. Respect the married people. Okay? Don't you have lunch with a married person. Don't you be, you know what I'm saying? Let's protect that in that kind of a capacity. It's going to really be helpful. Okay? I kind of feel like I'm done, but I kind of feel like I want questions. I don't know what I feel like doing right now. I don't think I've ever done this in the history of Encounter. Are there any questions? Covered it thoroughly? Guys, I stalled enough to think of my final thought. Relationships are hard work. And we just went painstakingly through what I believe are three huge key components to a healthy relationship. Having a full bag of character that takes perseverance. Choosing to invest in other people when you don't, just not being selfish. And doing it in a way that they're going to receive love. Treating each other like three-year-old little boys and three-year-old little girls. And if we do those things, on top of this, now you get this extra little component where you get to mix in the sex. And God's like, that's going to be like icing on the cake. But you got to have a cake. And I just think there's an awful lot of lies that say, let's jump to sex. Let's run there. As quick as it was for you to stumble into that yard, and as innocent as you were stumbling into that yard, a lot of you think that that's just the way life's supposed to be. And you end up acting on it. And you end up living there. And really what you're getting is you're just getting frosting without anything else. It's like sprinkles on top of nothing. God wants the best for everything that you've got. I have like 9 other things I think I wanted to say, and I feel like there's more I could talk about. And I want you, but at least this is a good place for us to start discussion and accountability and to let each other know we're all in this together. And I know it's hard, and I appreciate you guys. Let's stand and I'll pray. God, I want to thank you for being a good, good dad, a good God that wants what's best for us. We know that relationships are awkward, they're complex, they can be difficult. But you have made this worth fighting for. And we want what's best. God, would you give us a desire for what's very good? And not to settle for okay. Thank you for being in our corner, in our best interest. And Father, I just ask that we would honor you with all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.